Light is electromagnetic radiation of a wavelength that we can see is visible in human eyes. It travels approximately 186,282 miles per second, while the speed of sound is only travels 1,125 feet per second. The most common light source is a thermal, that means heat. As the temperature of the object rises very high, we get to see the different color of light, producing first red glow and white glow, and it goes into blue. But we cannot really see the blue because it goes into from the visible spectrum to the ultraviolet section. See, this color can be seen when the metal is heated to the red hot or white hot. When the metal is melt, it becomes red, and a red liquid. But when it's so hot, it becomes white hot. You don't want to stick your hands in there. Trust me on that thing. See, of course, this limits the physical light. But is that what the light Apostle John is talking about in the first chapter of the book of John? No, it's not. The light he's talking about is the true light. The true light of name is Jesus. To understand what John is telling us, we need to go back to verse 4 and 5 of chapter 1, please. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a gracious God. As one of the songs, worship songs says, the light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see. Father, without your Son Jesus, we wouldn't have this privilege of seeking you and praying to you and understanding your truth through your word, or nor the entering into your presence with a confidence in our heart. It is all because of Jesus' sacrifice. Now we ask you, Lord, to illuminate your truth to us through this word, the first chapter of the book of John this morning. We also pray for President Obama and his cabinet and the Congress. They may turn to you. And we also lift up the Supreme Court judges and federal judges, local judges. They may not do the things they want, but they may do what you want. We also lift up our troops around the world, especially one in harm's way in Iraq and in Afghanistan, wherever they are. We are asking you to watch over them, and you dispatch the warrior angels and surround them and keep them safe. You're willing, you bring them back to their families and their home, safe and sound. We also pray for our uniformed personnel, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters, especially the lifting up the Merrill Simon, our assistant pastor, and Don Marion, who often goes out to the wildfire or the structure fire, and our law enforcement personnel who attend our church. And we are asking you to you be their backup and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 6 of chapter 1, please. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for witness, to bear witness of light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. You see, the other Gospels, like Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, all contain information regarding John the Baptist, far more than Book of John. But Apostle Paul was able to concisely summarize the ministry job description of John the Baptist here in these three verses. John was sent as a witness of Jesus Christ to tell the people the light had come into the world. The nation of Israel, in spite of their spiritual privilege they had, being guided by God, they were blind to their own Messiah and rejected him. They rejected Jesus Christ. Then why then the nation rejected Jesus Christ? Because they did not know him, and get this, didn't care to know him. They were spiritually ignorant. Jesus is the true light, as we just learned, and the original of every other light is a copy. But the Jews were content with these copies, such as Moses. They literally idolized Moses. And they idolized tabernacle, temple, laws, and sacrifices. Instead of seeking God himself, they were idolizing all the other things, all the other lights, copies. And one thing they forget is these other lights all pointing to the Jesus Christ. But when it came to Jesus Christ, when the Jesus came into their world, they choose to ignore the true Messiah. Let me put it in our term. There is no other country in the world that has a spiritual privilege like the United States. United States has the more resource and more Bible teachers, more, you name it, Christian schools, Bible study software, CDs. You know, Bible software CDs, software, no other country developed except one country in the world, United States. However, why in the world this country that has so much spiritual privilege in Christianity turning into heathen nation every minute, minute by minute, we are turning into heathen nation? Why is that? It is because of people's choice. It's people's choice. Not only the unbelievers of the United States, but also even the majority of believers who would rather immerse themselves into the worldly lifestyle than obey the Lord Jesus. Parenthetically, they don't want to see their sins the way God sees. Did you get that? They don't want to see the sins the way God sees. They compromise the biblical standard. They justify their sins with their own self-righteousness. And they blatantly ignore God's commandment from Bible. We'll stop and let me make examples. In the Bible, in our Bible, it clearly says, do not commit adultery. Do not fornicate. So what is a fornicate means? I don't know what that means. Well, let me explain. Sex before marriage. Is that clear enough for you? One time when I was, when we, Karen and I were attending the Calvary Tucson, we call it a web servant. In other words, a webmaster. I managed their website. I built their website, managed their website. I responded to all the email coming and gone. One of the email came, and I, after the pastor Robert Ford, he's another pastor who doesn't beat around the bush. And he said fornication is wrong according to Bible. And this guy said, well, I'm 45, and I'm having sex with my girlfriend. Is it wrong? I think what the Pastor Robert says for the teenagers and the 20-year-old people. Okay, so find me that place that says, if you're 45, you can have a sex before marriage in the Bible. Do you find it anywhere? Oh, my, he might say, well, it's in the second book of opinion. No, it's not. Fornication means fornication. It is wrong against the word of God. Bottom line. And so people try to look for the loophole. What are you, ACLU attorney? Yeah. Folks, when God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And people say, well, we still can go to church because we love each other. Do you have a license for marriage? And some people say, no. But we love each other, and we kind of, our hearts are knit together. We're going to get married. Then wait. Then wait until you get married, then have it all you want. And another thing that the people have coming up with excuse of is that, well, I can date that guy or I can date that gal. All the Christian guys and gals that don't look good as much as this one. So I'm gonna bring that person to Christ. There is a Hebrew word for that in pig's eyes. That doesn't work. Okay? Besides, Word of God made clearly in 2 Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked together. Which part you don't understand? Majority of people don't have a problem here. But there are tremendous amount of Christians who think that they can do that kind of thing, get away with God. God's going to wink at them. No, God does not wink at our sin. God calls sin, sin. We should call it same way. You with me on that? All right. So I'm going to get off to the soapbox in there. This first 18 verses of this Gospel of John are introductory. You can call it prologue. This 18 verses, John gives the entire theme of the entire Gospel. It's like a briefing before the main lecture. It's a typical Hebrew literary style. He gives kind of summary of what's going to happen and then followed by the expanded version, more detailed version. It's the same thing what Moses did in the first book of Bible, Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and he started to explain whole process of creation. In second chapter, and he started to explain again. Now this time he's going into a little more detail that he left out, he didn't explain in chapter 1. Am I making sense? That's exactly what he's doing here. In the five verses, if you remember, he explained the deity of Jesus Christ, and the Word is God, and Jesus created everything, and etc. And then there is a sudden change, and he says that there was a man sent from God. What's that got to do with the Word of God? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. I did it backward, didn't I? Anyway, why did he all of a sudden bring this up, John the Baptist? Because there is a reason for it. He's going to explain that a little more as we learn. See, that John the Baptist came from the Judea, which is the southern part of Israel. So I guess you can say he is a southern Baptist, right? In a few weeks, we're going to learn more about John the Baptist. Up to Christ, John the Baptist is the greatest man ever lived. And you're thinking, oh yeah, that's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. That's what Jesus says. Keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, please. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, that means everybody, there has not been risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That would be us, right? That means we are better than John the Baptist. So far, in all the Old Testament prophets, see, greater than the Israeli heroes, such as Abraham and Moses, even the King David. Do you know how Israeli people cherish Moses and King David? They literally fall off those two people. But Jesus Christ is telling them John the Baptist is better than them. Why is that? Is it because he had a special assignment? He had a special assignment publicly for the first time declaring that Jesus is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. That's the reason. John the Baptist came to the witness who spoke the truth about the upcoming Savior, Jesus Christ, and who is the true light. You see, John the Baptist was the pointer to Jesus Christ, if you will. With his life and testimony, he pointed people around him to the Savior. Let me ask you this. Are you doing the same thing? Are you pointing people to Jesus Christ with your life and with your testimony? That is the highest goal of any Christian can have. Man and woman sent from God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, please. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father in heaven. Did you notice something that is missing? There's something missing. It does not say they may hear your good word. Rather, see good work. Remember what the talk the talk, walk the walk? The most important testimony of your life about Jesus Christ is the way you live, the way you handle the situation. More than what you can claim, I am born again Christian, and you do something wrong, that just destroys the testimony of Jesus Christ. Am I making sense? Each time I walk out the door, I pray and I expect God to use me for His glory. Let me make an example. A couple times a month, I do the ride along with my sheriff department deputies. I pray before I do the ride along. And I go out once a month, I go out to the SWAT training. The Pima regional SWAT team, they go have a training twice a month. I go out there and dragging my ass chest filled with a cold Gatorade. So in other words, I'm their official water boy. So I go out there, hand out the Gatorade. As I do that, I pray for them. As I do the ride along, I pray for them. Somehow God used me to bring them to the Christ and used me to minister to them. I don't go out there just to be a nice chaplain. I go out there to minister to them. Whenever you walk out of the house, whenever you walk out this door, there is a mission field, folks. You speak to another fellow human being, but they may not know Jesus Christ. They may on the way to hell. Remember what I said before? What's better than going to heaven? Taking somebody with you. Just don't go there by yourself. Grab somebody with you and go. And I get to have a privilege of leading some people in the sheriff department to Christ. There's nothing better than that. Verse 9 of chapter 1. There was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Of course, Apostle John is using metaphor that Jesus Christ is the light. Well, it doesn't mean that Jesus is the literal light that like this light. If he was the light, Mary and Joseph didn't have to use the night light. Just look at the glowing baby. I'm sure you're familiar with the nativity scene. There's a glowing baby. Wah, 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 glowing baby. And if Jesus was a little light, Judas didn't have to kiss him to identify him at the Garden of Gethsemane. All he had to do is just telling the high priest, just look for the guy with the glow. God's light reveals his unbending truth. God's light reveals his unbending truth to the people and their dark sin to themselves and the people around them. Generally, God's light speaks of the glory of God. That's the reason why the medieval artists used the halos around the Christ or the saint's head to show the glory of God. Jesus came to his own... I'm going a little too fast. God's light is not to hurt us. Somehow we think that God's light is to hurt people. When you were a kid, have you ever played with your kid friend or kid brother come and sticking the flashlight like this? And that hurt the eyes, right? Can you see me? Or some spot? Yeah. Do I have a halo? Thank you. God's light is not to hurt us. His light invites us to get out of our moral and spiritual darkness into His truth. Amen? But do you remember that when you were darkness, you couldn't find your way around? There's a beam of light came to you, and that person said, come this way and lead you to the safe place. I'm sure you appreciated that. Folks, that's what Jesus Christ is doing to us. When we were in a spiritual darkness, He gave us light and lead us into the safe place, His presence. God's eternal light to the truth, and that is Jesus Christ, is inviting you to the safe place through His word. Now to verse 10, please. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. At the end of the Israel trip, a few years ago, we and some people from our church and other Calvary Chapel people were waiting for our plane in Tel Aviv Airport in Israel. My wife Karen and I went to the cafe to get a cup of a smoothie. And when we approached there, all of a sudden there are a group of young Hebrew employees, and they start to talk amongst them, real in fast-bearded Hebrews. And while they're talking, they're kind of glancing at me. Now what? What do I have on my face? And then one of them came to my wife and said, is that guy Jackie Chan? You know, I don't know what possible resemblance. Yeah. Jackie Chan is from Hong Kong. I'm from Sweden. You know, actually, it's not the first time I heard this kind of thing. I heard it several times. He's a good-looking and rich and famous. I'm not. Within half an hour, he can make the money that it's going to require an entire year for me to make. But I'm taller, and I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a child of God. It's one thing for people to not recognize you, but it is a little life and death difference eternally for people not to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Secular media and skeptics, cult leaders, and the liberal Bible teachers will deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They try to come up with some other way to describe Jesus Christ. They say, well, Jesus was a man with a good moral and he was a good teacher, not God. Or sometimes they describe him as altogether completely different thing than what we believe. John Allegret, he's a Semitic scholar, wrote a book called A Sacred Mushroom. Get this, this is really good. Sacred Mushroom and the Cross. And he said, Jesus was not a historical man at all, but Jesus was a code name for a sacred hallucinating mushroom that allegedly used by the first century Christian. Well, I think that takes a whole new spin on, hey, dude, you want some Jesus? Come on. And here's another good one. A French Canadian, I don't know about those people, French Canadian called, any of you from Canada? Whatever. They said that Jesus' resurrection was a cloning performed by the aliens who made humans in a laboratory, the DNA experiment 25,000 years ago. I think they had one too many hallucinating mushrooms for dinner. Verse 11. He came to his own did not receive him. According to Jewish Talmud, he was the illegitimate son of Mary. It also says Jesus was called Panthera, and he learned magical art in Egypt, and he came back to Israel to instigate rebellion. As many of us have learned from the Matthew, Mark, and Luke of Luke's Gospel, Jewish leaders during the Jesus' time literally, intensely hated Jesus. Their hatred for Jesus was so intense that it made the murderous heart of the Roman soldiers pale in comparison. The Jewish people were so shackled by the religious tradition and the selfishness of their own heart, they could not understand spiritual truth. They were literally standing in the presence of God, but yet they ignored the truth in the Messiah, and they turned to this idol, their temple, their own tradition. That's what we're going to find time after time in the book of John. Listen, Jesus came to his own people whom he created with his own hands, but they nailed his hand on the cross. They nailed him on the cross. Let's go down to verse 12, please. We're almost done, so rejoice. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born and not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, Jesus Christ is the equal opportunity Savior. Equal opportunity Savior. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care what kinds of mommy and daddy you had, or what kinds of education level, or how smart you are, or how good looking you are. Thank God. See, that there are only one thing he cares. There's only one thing he cares. Do you believe in him, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior? Did you receive him, and do you follow him? That's all that matters to him. His own Jewish people rejected him. But some people in the world, like also known as Gentile, that's us, received him. Did you get that? The action word is received. Action word is received. Not achieve, not earn. It is God's sovereign gift. Salvation is, folks, get this. Salvation is God's sovereign gift. It's not man's achievement. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, please. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Did you get that? For by faith we've been saved. By grace, I'm sorry. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Oh yeah, we would boast. If we got the salvation with our own two hands, guess what? We are going to boast all about it. And we will say, hey, my salvation is bigger than yours. How do I know? Disciples did. How do I know? Because we will do it. You know it, we will do it. Liberal scholars and the Reverend Oprah Winfrey, as I said, insist that we are all God's children. Really, it is absolutely wrong theology. Everybody is a child of God. I don't deny that. By creation. But not by redemption. It's only physical birth. Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you are spiritually born again by redemption, you will not go into heaven. When you receive Jesus into your heart as a Savior and Lord, then you have the right, you have a power, and you have a privilege to be called a child of God. Matthew 7:13, please. Enter by narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who goes in by it. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. Let's make a three, bless you, three applications. Number one, our lives and testimonies of Jesus Christ should constantly point the people around us to the Messiah, Jesus. Our lives and testimony of Jesus Christ. Second application, when the Lord reveals the darkness of our sins, it is the right and wise thing for us to confess them to the Lord and walk away from them and never to return. You agree? That is the definition of repentance. Remorse means you are sorry that you got caught. That means you are going to do it again. That's not what God wants. God wants the repentance, not remorse. Comprende? Application number three, we should never think of never think that our salvation has anything to do with our own ourselves, nor anything we have done. Let's stand up and pray. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head, please. I know it's late. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not a born-again Christian, as I explained to you during my teaching, you don't go to heaven. This is not a threat. This is nothing to trying to make you to go to heaven because you're scared to death. Obviously, you're a smart person to buy insurance, car insurance. If you're smart enough to buy car insurance for just in case, you should be smart enough to decide that you don't want to go to hell. What Bible says is true. That means if you are contradicting to what the Bible says, that means you're wrong. If you think that you can go to heaven because you're a good person, that's contradicting to the Bible, what the Bible says. So if you like to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, then you may become born-again Christian, and you will have eternal life in heaven. All you have to do is simply raise your hand and receive Jesus into your heart. Do it now. Receive him into your heart. If you'd like to do that, raise your hand. God bless you. Okay. Including that lady, everyone repeat after me, please. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I realize that my sin has separated me from you. But I turn away from my sin. I believe that Jesus died for my sin and rose from the dead. So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. And please come into my heart. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God.